Thank you for that scripture reading. Good evening. Tonight we're going to look at the calling of Jeremiah. And if you'll turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1, we'll look through chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. I find it interesting to look at the calling of the prophets. I think it's very interesting to me because at times we see the prophets were very, very human. They had human nature, just like we have human nature, and have attributes that are very common to ours. And in looking at this, it makes us think, have you ever been told to do something that you were not excited to do? Maybe you thought the task was too hard to accomplish. Maybe you thought you were the wrong person for the job. Maybe you thought you were too young or too old to accomplish the task. Have you ever just thought, why me? I think we all can relate to that and relate to Jeremiah and his calling. And we see this, have you ever considered that you were exactly the right person for the job, especially when God is asking you to fulfill the task? Often in the Old Testament, we see men which God had chosen for a large task to accomplish. They question God and their abilities to perform the assigned task. We see Moses did this when he was at the burning bush. And we see that he said, well, you know, he gave all these lists of excuses that I can't do this. But we know that Moses has done. We know Joshua may have felt the same way when he was commissioned to lead the people into the promised land. This task is too hard for me. Jeremiah felt this way when God appointed him to be a prophet to the nations. We're going to look at Jeremiah's commission, then God's commands, and make the application for us in the Christian commission. Jeremiah's commission we see in our scripture reading tonight. God's unique way of calling Jeremiah. God shows Jeremiah that he was the man for the job. If we see in verse 5, he said, "Before I formed you, you were in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God not only saw the fact of Jeremiah's conception and birth, but also designated that it should take place. Jeremiah was divinely developed and discerned. Before you were born, I sanctified you. We see, he said, I formed you in the womb, and now he said, before you were born, I sanctified you. God, Jeremiah was set apart and made holy to do the will of God. This occurred by God before Jeremiah was born. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. God had a plan for Jeremiah that needed to be followed. And God had given Jeremiah a ministry to fulfill. God was purposeful and precise in proclaiming that Jeremiah was going to be his prophet. In a quick reading and understanding, it appears that Jeremiah had no choice in the matter. In fact, we may ask, well, you know, was he just predetermined to do this, predestined to do this? And a quick response or a quick reading of it may give us that impression. Did Jeremiah have free will to do what God commanded him to do? I believe he did because of the excuses that he gives. But then we see that he does do what God intends him to do. Jeremiah's responses shows that he had the ability to turn down God's will. Jeremiah's uncertainty of the calling. When we look at this, he said, I don't know what to say. Too often people make excuses. And sometimes I make excuses. I don't want to do this task because I don't know what I'm going to say. Hopefully that's not the case when we come up here to proclaim God's word. But we see that the excuses that we can make, we can also look at Luke chapter 9. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, in verse 57. Luke chapter 9 in verse 57, it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" In fact, Jesus wanted him to know, to count the cost here. I don't have a home. I don't have a place to rest, a place to lay my head down. He wanted him to count the cost. Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And then we see another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." We see there's excuses being made. You know, "I'll follow you, but not right now." Or, you know, "I'll follow you, but I need to do some other things first." You see, this is very common to make excuses not to follow God immediately. Or maybe I'll follow God a little bit, but then, you know, don't let it affect the things that I like to do. So we see Jeremiah's response was much like Moses' response in "I don't know how to speak. I'm not good at it. I don't know how to speak." And we see that a prophet was a spokesman for God, but Jeremiah doubted his youthful experience. And I have no experience in this area. Jeremiah looked at his youth as an excuse to not do what God's desire was for him. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul said to Timothy, being an elderly man and telling a younger man, he said, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believer in word and conduct, in love and spirit and faith and purity." You know, see, when they challenge your youth, and they challenge your age, you know, let your conduct be what proves to them. Let that not be an excuse. The hesitation of Jeremiah was probably because the culture he grew up with, which relied on the aged men to prophesy and lead the people and to teach people about God's will and God's word. And we see these excuses being made, and we understand. We do that in our life as well. But we see God's unprecedented response in verses 7 and 8. It said, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I will send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.'" When we look at this, God did not accept Jeremiah's excuses. God was going to send Jeremiah to the specific place he was going to go. God was going to relay a message that Jeremiah and what he was going to say. He told Jeremiah not to be afraid, not to be afraid of their faces. And I kind of get that and understand you may think, well, why afraid of their faces? You see, one of the biggest fears is in our world today is public speaking and talking to people. When we look at, because what we have here tonight, everybody's looking here up to me. I'm the one speaking. So when he's saying, "I don't know what I'm going to say, I don't know what I'm going to do," he's kind of saying, "Don't be afraid of their faces because they're looking at you. All eyes are on you." He said, "But don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid." He said, "Because I'll deliver you. I'll deliver you." Then what he says, Jeremiah had the protection of God. God was going to be with him and deliver him. And then we see something that God did. God put forth his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth. And the Lord said to him. When we look at this, we see this guarantees that God is with him. And that he put the words in Jeremiah's mouth, as if this is how I'm going to confirm it. I'm going to touch your mouth, and I'm going to put the words into it. And we can understand that and understand what this confirmation is, this guarantee that he gives them. Jeremiah's mouth was going to be directed by God. He did not have to rely on his own earthly wisdom or discernment, especially because we know he was a youth. We see God's command here, and God's commands were put into place. We read verse 10. It says, "See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant." Jeremiah was instructed to prophesy to the nations and the kingdoms that God is going to cause the threatened calamities or else bring favorable events according to their circumstances of the case. Jeremiah's role in God's plan was to be over the nations and over the kingdoms. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 18, if we just go over a few chapters. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18 and verse, so let's start in verse 5. It said, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand. O house of Israel, the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if the nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning the kingdom, to build and to plant, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it." When we look at this and understand that God's command was going to be set forth, and it was going to be based upon the reaction and the response of the people. And Jeremiah's message from God, in short, was to root out. And we need to understand what these words mean. To root out, that implies a deep-rooted sin that prevailed in the hearts of men. The prophecy of Jeremiah was going to uproot the sin by God's actions. And we see that by he's going to root out and try to get to the heart of the matter, if you will. And he's also not only to root out, but to pull down. This implies the removal of all man-made treasures that infiltrated the hearts of men. They would be brought down and removed. If we see in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, he said, "I will utter my judgments against them concerning all the wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourselves and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them." You see, Jeremiah was sent to root up, to pull down, and we see also to destroy. This implies that the shameful and hideous acts against God would be destroyed. God is not going to just remove them, but utterly destroy them. And Micah proclaims a similar imagery of destruction. If you would turn over to Micah chapter 1. Micah chapter 1. Verses 6 and 7. It says, "Therefore I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with the fire, and her idols I will lay desolate. For she gathered it from the pay of a harlot, and they shall return to the pay of a harlot." We see here that it is like the message with Jeremiah. I am going to destroy this evil that is here. I am not going to tolerated any longer. It was a coming warning to the people through Jeremiah, through Micah, of the utter destruction it's going to leave them if they continue down the path that they are following. Then we go back to Jeremiah and we see not only is to root out, to pull up, to destroy, and also to throw down. To throw down, this implies that their behavior is not going to be tolerated any longer. God is going to bring it to an end. Then we see the last two is to build and to plant. To build, and this implies changes were going to take place. This is a positive change, bringing it back to the way it should have been under God's command. How it should have been when they followed after God and then followed the way of God, not following the way after worldly idols and worldly things like that, but the way it should have been. He's going to build. And also to plant, this implies the beautification was coming along with the building up. God was not going to leave it in complete and utter ruin. However, this replacement from evil in corruption was not, this is a replacement from evil and corruption that was not a sweet aroma to God. And we look at what is a sweet aroma to God is when we follow His will, when we follow after Him. This, what they were doing is following after idols, and that was not a sweet aroma to God. The replacement that He is going to build and to plant, you see, this was going to please God. As we look at the calling of Jeremiah, in summary, Jeremiah, though through the will of God, had a task to fulfill. Jeremiah struggled in seeing why he was chosen for the job. God's will was going to be accomplished through the prophecy of Jeremiah. Soon God's judgment is going to come upon these nations and kingdoms. The lesson for us today is to realize the task that was in front of Jeremiah and also relate that to the task that is in front of us and to work diligently to accomplish it. We see that in the Christian commission. We see the application for Jeremiah's calling is applicable to us today. Christians may be like Jeremiah, wondering why I am chosen to carry out God's message. God chose you for the job. It is through the eternal plan of God that He would use men to teach others how to be obedient to God. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, he says, "In the things that you have heard from me, from many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." When we think of that and we think of the Great Commission in Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." You see, God chose Jeremiah to accomplish a task, to let the nations know, the world, to know about God. Jesus chose His disciples, the apostles at that time, and gave them that great commission to go out and to teach others about Jesus, teaching them all that Jesus commanded them to do. We too have that commission by their example. We are to be imitated. Paul said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And therefore, we need to follow after Paul and what he did when taking out the message of Jesus Christ. Because that's what Jesus wanted His disciples to do. God has given us His written word. By His word, we have the words in our mouth to proclaim it. Just like God said, "Here's my words, Jeremiah, and put them in his mouth." God has given us His word and put it in our hands. Now, for us, we need to take that time to read it, to understand it, to take that time to learn it, so that we can be right with God, so that we can then go out and proclaim it to the world. God's word makes us profitable for Him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 says, "But you must continue," this is Paul talking to Timothy, But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have heard them, and that from the childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the Christian needs to take the word that God has handed us and know it, to learn it, to use it, make it profitable for us, make us wise for salvation, but then also to be able to go out and teach this to others so that they can be complete as well. God's word, whether orally spoken to Jeremiah or written for us today, needs to be proclaimed. This is to satisfy two main purposes. Peter says in 2 Peter 2, chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, it's to bring the brethren into remembrance. So it's to constantly remind us of what God wants us to do. And we also know that we need to take it to not only the brethren, but we need to take it to the world, the lost world, who does not know God's word and God's will. Like in the time of Jeremiah, God's judgment is going to come forth to all nations. At this time, men will be judged. We too, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And knowing this, knowing that there is that judgment, therefore, the terror of the Lord, knowing that, we persuade men. You see, we too might be like Jeremiah, make excuses of why we cannot do the task that is before us. We need to be like Jeremiah in the way that he went about and did what he was told to do, what he was instructed to do. Are we going to follow the will of God in our lives? Will we work at learning the word of God so that we can proclaim the word of God to the lost and dying nations? Are we going to say, alas, Lord God, we don't know how to speak? When we think of that, like Jeremiah said at that time, we need to understand that we have it in our hands. That confirmation for us that we can read it and study it and that we can take it to that lost world, and we will be without excuse because we have the word of God in our hands. What about you tonight? Have you been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you in the right relationship with God? Or have you obeyed the gospel by believing in Jesus, confessing him, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the remission of your sins? If you're here tonight and you have not done that, I encourage you to follow the plan of God, to get your life right with God, be reconciled back with God. Or maybe you're here tonight and you have fallen away by various things in the world. We understand how that happens. But you can come back to God. And if we can help you tonight get your life right with God, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.